Hey guys, welcome to Our City Church. We are so glad you are here. If you're looking for some good sermons and great words of encouragement, you have come to the right place. And while you're here, go ahead and like, comment, and subscribe, and share this with all your loved ones if you want them to be encouraged as well. Now, let's join this week's sermon in progress.
You ever hear the term, here's the scoop? Anybody ever hear that? Yes, everybody's heard that. Here's the scoop is usually, when you hear that, you're about to hear news, get information, inside, and important details on a particular subject. Here's the scoop of the meeting. What you're about to hear is what happened in the meeting and the details of it. And here's the scoop from somebody that's close to you. Tell me the latest scoop. You're usually getting ready to get some gossip or some kind of news that maybe you didn't know. And nobody gossips in here, do we? We're preaching on that next week. So if you do, you got to be here and be delivered. But you also heard, I've got the inside scoop, right? And usually you're going to get exclusive or privileged information in this thing. But here's the scoop. Burger King says this, have it your way. But the real scoop is Jesus invited us to follow him, and he modeled it, and he showed us, and he wants us to do it his way. Following Jesus is not just believing the right things. It's learning to live how he lived. Our core value is Jesus is our message. So if Jesus is our message, we have to become more like Jesus. We have to practice. We have to do what he did. And that can only be done through the power of the Holy Spirit. You have a hard time doing that on your own. You need the Holy Spirit every day to walk with you, to lead you and guide you, and he's there for you. But in the world today, it's about creating followers, right? TikTok, you got to have followers. You got Instagram and YouTube and Facebook, and these influencers are trying to get their popularity out, their business. They're trying to take your money too. Can you, man? Come on. I heard some guys making like 10 grand a month for doing ignorant things. Can you believe that? I should be a millionaire. Come on, that'll preach right there. I should be a millionaire because all the stupid things I say sometimes. But consuming content too closely can wrap your own personality, and unconsciously you adapt to who you're following. But the scoop is here, listen to me. Everyone in this room is an influencer. You influence people one way or the other. Our lifestyles affect other people around you, whether you realize it or not. Let's look at the greatest influencer of all time and how he created a following. Title of this message is Follow the Leader. Anybody ever play that? Yeah. Played it pretty good. Matthew 4:18 says this, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. If you ask most people what it means to follow Jesus, you'll get this. Believe in him. Go to church, try to be a good person, live a good life. And listen, none of these are bad, but they're really, really, really incomplete. When Jesus called the people in Matthew 4, he doesn't say agree with me. He doesn't say attend something. He doesn't say clean up your life first. He simply said to them, follow me. If your child says they're following you, but they don't listen to you, anybody got any of the kids do that? They hardly go where you're going. They don't ever change their behavior. She's got a big kid up here. That's why she's pointing at me. I'm kidding. She's not. They don't change their behavior. You might say, yes, but they're my child, but they're really not following me. When GPS tells you to turn right and you don't turn and you go straight, what happens? Rerouting, rerouting, rerouting. You're listening, you've listened to what it told you to do, but you didn't follow the instructions. Many of us are like that with Jesus, right? We hear, but we hardly listen. When he says go straight, we want to go turn the way that we want to turn. Many of us know about him, but are not actually following him. Let's look at the definition of follow. Follow means to go, there's a lot of them. To go, proceed. To come after, to engage in as a calling or a way of life, to accept as authority and to obey, to pursue in an effort to overtake, to seek, to attain. Follower is one that's in the service of another, one who imitates another. What do we as Christians define a follower as? Well, the first group I'm going to talk about, you're even aggravated that I'm talking about it. You're aggravated that I'm even asking the question. You got the Jesus bumper sticker on your car. Come on, you got the fish symbol. You got the honk. If you love Jesus on your car, when then they honk at you, you turn into the devil. Come on, you know what I mean. They're honking behind you like, will you get off? I'm about to give you some silent. No, I'm not. Not nobody in this room. You wear the Jesus shirt. But here's what I'm not asking you. I'm not asking you to do you go to church. I'm not asking you to do you own a Bible, especially a paper one. I don't ask you if you listen to Christian music or are your parents' been Christians. I'm not asking those questions. The second group I'm asking to is, I'm a good person. I live a good life. I repeated a prayer one time. I got saved when I was 4. Come on. And the one I get all the time is, you don't really have to go to church to be a Christian. I love God in my own way. Come on, I've heard that before. My church is in the woods. My church is at the beach. Come on, Pastor Minnie doesn't really say that, but that she gets her. But I've heard people say that I can serve God and follow God the way that I want to do it because it's the way that I am. But no, a fan, you're more of a fan than you are a follower. A fan goes to the game, sometimes hours early. He paints himself up all up. He looks crazy out there. Come on. He got the signed jersey. He knows the stats. He knows about the players. But he's never truly in the game. He has no sweat. He takes no hits. There are no true commitments or requirements or sacrifices. Jesus has a lot of fans. They cheer when things are going well. Come on. When the cats are doing good, man, you all hear is good. Let them lose 2 games in a row, and who got some crazy UK fans? They're ready to kill every one of them. I'm kidding. No, not really sometimes. Jesus has a lot of fans. They cheer when it's going good, but walk away when things get difficult. They want close enough to have the benefits, but not so close that it requires anything from them. Come on. Come on. We fit into these categories somewhere in our life. Fans mistake admiration for devotion, knowledge for intimacy. Jesus says, follow me, and it might be a way bigger ask than we might even imagine. In the first century, when a rabbi said, follow me, it wasn't casual. It wasn't committed. It meant, I want you to live with me. I want you to learn from me. I want you to be like me. I want you not just to believe in me. I want you to imitate me. And here, listen, in those times, they didn't ask people to follow them. People asked them if he could follow them. And they wouldn't take everyone. They looked at credentials. They looked at backgrounds. They looked at their reputation. They looked at their status. That's what makes Jesus even more beautiful. He's asking every single one of us to follow him. You want me to follow you? Me? Don't you know my past? Don't you know how unqualified I am? Don't you know how many times I failed you? And Jesus said, yep. Know all those answers to that one. And I still want you to follow me. Come on, that's the good God that we serve, y'all. We ought to be so thankful that we serve Jesus. He's looking at you and says, I've already seen your potential. He said, I've already seen your worth. You are chosen. You are able. You can do it. He's asking today, will you go with me? Are you willing to learn from me if you go? Your kids don't learn anything by sitting around with lectures on how to live. Can I get an amen on that one? They listen to about half you say. But what they really do is they watch, they copy, they repeat what they see and what they hear. That's why you have to be careful what you say around your kids. Oh, can I get an amen on that one? because they're going to be repeated. Cade is a little parrot. If you say anything, he's going to repeat it back to you. Cain was wondering why he said the F word one day. I said, well, because he hears it in the house. They're going to do everything that you do. Parents, we have grace for our kids as they're learning and trying to figure it out. And kids are not expected to figure it all out by themselves. They just can't do it. They're meant to be guided by their parents. God is a perfect heavenly father. No matter what your experience has been with your own father on earth, no matter how you struggle as a parent, God is the father better than you can ever imagine. He's so patient. Aren't you glad he's patient with you? Aren't you glad he's gracious to you? Thank you for your grace, God, or I wouldn't be. I'd be up in a puff of smoke right now. He's generous. He's the perfect example of love. The goal of following wasn't just knowledge or attendance. It was transformation. The question isn't, do I believe in Jesus? It's actually, am I arranging my life to follow and be more like Jesus? Let's look at Nicodemus. Nicodemus was one of the religious leaders, and he was well-known and respected. And in John 3:2, here's what he said. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these things, these signs that you do, unless God is with them. He was ready to take his admiration, or was he ready to take his admiration to a new level? But it says he came by night. He could have talked to Jesus anytime. He had a lot of daytime opportunities, but he came at night. What happened? Why did he come at night? Because at night, he wouldn't be seen. There would be no questions from anyone. He could spend some time with Jesus without anybody noticing that he was doing it. And his relationship, he didn't have to fully change anything because nobody knew he was meeting with Jesus. He starts by making it clear he believes. He said, you are a rabbi. Signs are coming from you. And Jesus gets right to the point. Listen to what he says. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus might be saying, me? I was born religious. I know all the books of the Bible. I've memorized everything. I know it all, Jesus. You can't be talking about me. But listen, resumes, acts, rituals are not what Jesus is looking for. He was looking for him to be humble and say, you need to be born into a whole new life. Oh, come on. Born again is going to be a whole sermon at one time, just talking about what it means. But he was looking at him. He said, I don't care what you've done in the past. I don't care all the good things you think you have done. You need to be born into the new life that I want to give you. And you must follow me. Here he had a decision to make, not simply believe, but to follow day and night. How many of us have a gym membership? Come on, get your hands in there. How many of y'all use your gym membership? Okay, that's pretty good. Do you know that 67% of people rarely use it or never use it? You can have one, but if you don't go to the gym, you will not be changed. You don't drift into becoming like Jesus. You decide to be coming into Jesus. Come on. I did the military 15-minute workout 2 times last week. I did 9 minutes both times because that's all I could do. Then I couldn't walk afterwards. But if I want to get my body in shape other than round, I have to decide to make a decision to do those things. How do we actually follow Jesus? Here's where it gets uncomfortable. Matthew 4:19. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Following Jesus requires leaving something behind. It says they immediately left their nets. What did their nets represent? It represented their income, security, but most of all, their identity. They were fishermen. Those nets were who they were. What are our nets today? We all have them. It could be our careers. It could be financial. It could be entertainment. It could be control. It could be approval. None of those are necessarily evil. But then when they come, they can come quietly in and be the things that really shape our lives. The average person checks their phone 150 to 200 times a day and averages 4+ hours, sometimes up to 6 hours. What is shaping you more, Jesus or your screen? Because you are what you consume. I am not lying with you. I have almost quit consuming Facebook because it's all a bunch of lies anyway. But I caught myself even a few months ago just scrolling and reading stuff and get, you know, start reading it, knowing it's not true, but I'm reading it anyway. We have to wonder what we're looking at all day long. Some of us are trying to follow Jesus without changing anything in our lives. We're going through the same motions. We're prioritizing the wrong things, and we're being totally distracted. Come on, anybody live distracted? A lot of distracted people in this world. If we're honest, the Holy Spirit's probably speaking to you right now. He's putting his finger on something. This is what I'd love for you to change right now. There's no way to follow Jesus, listen to me, without him interfering with your life. He came in and told those disciples, follow me. He interfered to the utmost in their life. They left everything, their family, their jobs, everything to follow him. There's no way to follow him without him interrupting your life. Following Jesus is not just about leaving something. It's about becoming someone. Amen. Come on, I'll say that again. That's a good one. Following Jesus is not about leaving something. It's about becoming someone. Transformation requires being intentional. Some people say, again, I want to be in good shape, not round. But we don't change anything. We don't change the way we eat. We don't change the way we sleep. We don't change the way we move. Our routines are the same. And when that happens, you probably are not going to see the results you want to see. It's the same with our spiritual life with Jesus. You can't live hurried, distracted, overloaded, lives and experience the peace that God has for you. Come on, somebody. I've had to catch my peace in the last few, 3 or 4 days. I've got some stuff just coming at me, and I've just been like, Finally, I just have to understand that God is in control. I can't control it. We become like Jesus by doing what he did. He modeled following. And you can see patterns that he went through in the Gospels. The Bible says he withdrew to pray. He got alone to pray. He got away from the distracted disciples to pray. He got away from the crowds who wanted everything from him to pray. He got away from all of the things around him to go by himself. Come on, time spent with Jesus alone is time that is worth it, y'all. He withdrew and he prayed. He served others. He practiced the Sabbath. He lived close in community. Listen, if you're not in a crew, get in a crew. Y'all need it. We all need it. We're better together. But here's the biggest thing he did. He trusted the Father. He trusted God. He was in the garden. He said, not my will, not what I want, but your will, God. I'm going to do it because you want me to do it, Father. I may not see the end of it, but I know you know the end of it. Those were not just random. They were practices of life that shaped him. Jesus had a way of life. So if you want to be more like Jesus, not just wear the WWJD bracelet, not just wear the Jesus shirt, we must reorder our lives around him. Our patterns of life must change, not out of religion, not just praying more, not just reading more, not just going to church more. It has to change, not for approval either, not for acceptance, and not to earn God's love. You can't earn his love. He loves you. You can't read enough to he didn't love you more. You can't go to church enough. Y'all meet in church. He loves you more when he's on Sunday. I'm kidding. You can't go to church enough to get him to love you. He loves you unconditionally. Not to earn God's love, but be formed by it. You're formed out of relationship. And when relationship becomes important, those desires become rhythms in your life. Those things become what you want to do. Habits, first thing you start talking about as a habit is, it's something bad, right? No. You could form good habits by doing things. Yeah. I am going to do that military workout 3 times this week, and I'm going for at least 12 minutes. I'm going to try. Praise the Lord. I may not be able to walk the next day. I'm going to tell you a funny story about Pastor Mindy. She's been doing this cycling. What's it called? Lifted. So the first time she went in there, I mean, she went hardcore for an hour on that cycle, man. She was just going. She came in drenching wet with sweat. She didn't really feel it that day. That next day, she was like, she was walking down the hallway. I was like, what's the matter with you? She said, I'm about to die. But she's done it now several times. She ain't about to die all the time. She's starting to get some, she looking good. She gets some muscles going up in there and getting fit and trim. But she could have quit because she went on that Monday and felt like that on that Tuesday. So many times we quit because we get a little pain. We get a little discomfort. We don't want to get up. 6 o'clock in the morning, girl is crazy. And when she's up, I'm up. But I mean, that's dedication. That's what you do. If you want to go, you have to form good habits in your life. Kids need rhythms. They need patterns. They need dinner time. They definitely need bedtime. Pastor Mindy watched the grandkids a couple weeks ago, or 6 months ago, and she said, I could not wait until it was bedtime. We went to the birthday party yesterday, and I mean, at the end of it, I was like, oh my gosh, can we go home now? But it's not just about learning, it's about practicing. We don't always just need an inspirational message on Sunday. We don't always just need an encouraging message. We need to learn how to walk it out on Monday and to be the best that we can be all during the week. Our faith needs to shift from information to transformation. Here's some practical things. Create space to be with Jesus. Create it. You probably won't be able to find it. Let me tell you, this may sound lazy. If it is, then I'm lazy. Sometimes I wake up like 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes early, and I'm still in my bed. And I'm creating space before I hit the floor, before I ever look at my phone. I'm creating that space to say, okay, God, what do you have for me today? And I think so many times make it overly religious. You can lay in the bed and talk to Jesus. Because I was raised, you couldn't do nothing unless you was on the floor, on your knees. And there's times when you need to do those things too, but be practical. Give him the first 10 or 15 minutes of your day. Don't complicate it, just be real and be intentional. No phone, no distractions. And also reading your Bible. I read all the Gospels today. Well, I'm glad you had 25 hours. Start out by reading something short. I'm reading I'm reading something from Rick Warren. I get it every single morning. And man, it has been so good. It pops up, it's free, it didn't cost me nothing. But I'm reading that whole devotional every day. Sometimes we overdo it, even if it's a verse of the day, meditate on that verse. Start by reading that and start by sitting. Whew, this is what I do first in the bed. Then I come over here and do some things. But I sit and I pray to God. I ask him what he wants me to do. Then I sit in silence just for a few minutes while she's making coffee. But I sit in silence to say, God, what do you want to say? What I just ask you for all the things that I needed or all I petitioned you, but now I want to know what you want. And listen, it's weird sometimes. And sometimes you might not feel like nothing's really happening, but it's not about instant results sometimes. Sometimes we want our things to happen just like that. It's about long-term transformation. God says you do the small things now, and you're going to see them start growing up in a little while. Remember what Jesus called the fishermen? They left their nets immediately. The question is, again, what are our nets? What are the things that are shaping our lives? What are the things that we need to leave behind? And listen, Jesus is still asking the same question today. He's still saying the same things today. Follow me. Not occasionally, not casually, but completely. We need to move from believing in something to following someone. And I think that's the whole problem. We've grew up in religion. We think we have to know this verse and that verse, and just come to know me. It says, when you're tired and you're weary, sit back and listen to me. Let me feel, get the rhythm of who I am. Let's all stand if we would, please. In a world we hear, follow your heart. Just follow your heart. But you have to be careful about following your heart. Because the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things. You got to be careful about following your heart, but you're following your emotions, your feelings, even your own desires. All those things can let you down. It can take you in the wrong direction. Instead of following our heart, we need to start following Jesus and his rhythms. Listen, that can be difficult. I'm not saying it's easy. But here's the thing. Jesus offers something that the heart can't. He offers peace. He offers joy. He offers contentment. We live in a discontented world. We need more. I saw that on Facebook. I saw that on Instagram. You don't know their lives. We live in a discontented world. Just like disciples, Jesus is saying, follow me. And I think he's still saying those same things today. Follow me. And what following is, it's an action. It's a step. Accepting Jesus is the first step into following him. And many try to overcomplicate it. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, you can be saved. You don't have to have it all together because he will help you put it all together. And that may be a process that takes some time to do, but get in the process. Maybe you've been following, but you got a little lost along the way. Anybody ever get lost along the way? You might be thinking, man, I was doing so good and how did I end up here? It's because you took a wrong turn and the Holy Spirit, was GPS, as I said earlier, was beeping and saying, reroute, reroute, danger, Will Robinson. He was saying all those things and you kept going. It's okay because with the GPS, he gives you a reroute. With Jesus, he gives you some mulligans. He lets you reroute your life even though you've made a mistake and went down the wrong road. Maybe some things are keeping you from following Jesus. Maybe it's guilt. Maybe it's shame. Maybe it's wounds from your past. Or maybe it's just some sin in your life. I'm going to ask you this morning, bring it to Jesus. Lay it at his feet. We talked about this in staff. We're talking about what the altar represents. We maybe do a whole message on the altar. This altar is not just for someone who needs to come up here, because it used to be if you came to the altar, oh my gosh, they must be in really bad shape. Sometimes the altar is just for healing of your heart, healing of your mind, healing of your spirit. These altars are going to be open. There's going to be people on the left and right to pray with you. Come and lay it at Jesus' feet this morning. You've been carrying it too long. You've been trying to figure it out too long. Jesus said, come and give it to me. And I promise you, he's still there.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you are encouraged. If you are looking for more information, please visit ourcitychurch.online. We love you. We're praying for you. We'll see you soon.